Sports with Evan and Tiki. Middays 10 to 2. WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1 New York. And Odyssey Sports Station.
Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours, 888-808-1019. On the heels of a wacky Yankee game, first of all, you had the long rain delay, and then the power went out, not only once, but twice. It was bizarre. I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden, I'm like, it got significantly darker. I think the lights just went out. And thankfully, they weren't in Tampa, because the game would have been delayed for 6 hours, because when the power goes out at the Trop, it basically is out for a day and a half. Luckily, this is Yankee Stadium. This is New York City, the greatest city in the world, and they got the power back up and running. And by power, I mean the entire stadium didn't go dark, but a couple of the lights and went out. And luckily, it took, what, 2-3 minutes for them to come back on, and then maybe a couple of minutes later, they went out again, but then luckily, it only took a few more minutes to get them back on, and we were up and running. But it was a very interesting sort of start to the game after a 1 hour plus rain delay. And then, of course, the Yankee bats went silent, even though the Cardinals did everything in their power to hand this game to the Yankees. And this loss is something I like to call an Aaron Boone special. You know, you see this a few times throughout the year where Aaron Boone costs his team a game. And I have no earthly idea why Luis Garcia Jr., a guy that you brought in here to be a big bat in this struggling offense, I have no idea why he is not up there in the ninth inning and why you would take him out of the game. So with everything on the line and the way the Red Sox are playing, the way the Rays are playing, this is critical to get victories. You don't want to keep giving up ground to Tampa, and now Boston is side by side with you in the loss column. So that ninth inning is a critical inning, and that Ali Sanchez is a critical at-bat, and you don't have Luis Garcia Jr. in that spot. And to make matters worse, you don't even pinch hit for Ali Sanchez. Do something. Grab the guy in the sixth row. Let him hit. Let him catch. You can't have Ali Sanchez up there, and you can't take Luis Garcia Jr. out of that game. That is a Aaron Boone special. I even asked around. I'm like, is Garcia hurt? If he's hurt, I understand you taking him out of the game, obviously. But the fact that you take your best bat out of the lineup, and he would have been up there with the game on the line in the ninth, and you have Ali Sanchez, who shouldn't even be on the roster, which is another story, that is an Aaron Boone special. And I think he's had a good season as Yankee manager. I even said it was his best season as Yankee manager about a week ago. But he still has these nights where you are reminded that he just does some poor managerial decisions and mistakes, and it can cost you a game at a time where the Yankees can ill afford to be losing games. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I think that's a good setup for our dear friend here on After Hours, and that, of course, is Robbie in Phoenix. Robbie, what's going on?
This proves my point. I was proven correct. Aaron Buffoon is a certified buffoon. Certified. Only, this is the only manager in the world that would do what he did. I can't think of a manager in the Japanese League. What? I can't think of a manager in the Korean League or even in the Mexican League who would be this stupid enough to do what he did.
Yeah, and I'm glad, Robbie, that you said world, because I think a lot of people that call up, they say, well, Aaron Boone is the worst manager in America, the worst manager in the big leagues. You don't stop at America. You don't stop at the Major League Baseball level, Robbie. You just go worldwide, universe.
Yes.
Because there's probably a baseball league on Mars that has better managers than Aaron Boone.
In these countries.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen baseball played in these countries. Not a manager alive, except for this buffoon, that would do what he did today. And here's the thing. They're not going to go far at all, because I'm going to tell you something. If you believe this buffoon can outmanage Chad Tracy or Cash, I've got a bridge to sell you. Aaron Boone is a disease on this team. The team reflects him, and that's why they're losing. And another thing, Trent Grisham is garbage.
Awful. Shouldn't be on the team.
Garbage.
Should be cut,
Cashman
released.
Should be fired.
Well, he's not going to be fired. But let me ask you a question here, Robbie. Would you rather have a number two pencil or Aaron Boone managing the Yankees?
Number two pencil. Mm. And I hope tonight that the world knows Robbie from Phoenix had it right from the get-go.
Well, that's the thing, Robbie, and I will always remind the audience of this. You know, for many out there, you know, that got on the sort of bandwagon of wanting Aaron Boone fired, for some it took a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever the case may be. You, Robbie, were the first to call this radio station demanding that Aaron Boone be fired. And it didn't take you a year. It didn't take you a month. It didn't take you...
Three games.
Yeah, so one series for you was enough for you to say, hey, Aaron Boone is a buffoon and doesn't know what he's doing. And look, you're a visionary. You are somebody that sees the future. You knew exactly what you were watching, and you saw a manager that was incapable of taking the Yankees to the promised land. Let me ask you this, though. Would you rather have a Scantron or Aaron Boone managing the Yankees?
A Scantron.
Scantron, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, listen.
I'm going to tell you something. Mm-hmm. This is the worst. Now, I have played sports. I've been in professional rugby. This is the worst manager, coach I've ever seen in my life.
Across all sports. And like I said, Robbie, not just across America or according to you, Robbie, not just only America and the world, but if I were you, I would take it up another notch, so to speak. And I would say the worst manager in the universe. Because there could be a baseball league on Pluto that we're unaware of, and Aaron Boone is worse than all those managers. And don't stop at baseball. I mean, you can go to cricket. You can go to, what's another obscure sport? Pickleball. I don't know if pickleball is obscure, but you get my drift. Do they have managers in bowling? If they did, they'd be better than Aaron Boone. But, Robbie, this is a night for you because I thought Aaron Boone cost his team the game. I thought it was an Aaron Boone special. I have no earthly idea why Luis Garcia Jr. is not at the dish at the end of the game. Why'd you bring him here? Let's trade for the best bat at the deadline, and then a couple of games in, with everything on the line in the ninth inning, let's have him sitting on the bench and a backup catcher who shouldn't even be in the major leagues. And honestly, I have no earthly idea how he still is. Oh, gee, I know, because Brian Cashman didn't trade for a catcher. And yet, Sanchez is taking the biggest at-bat of the game on a night where the Red Sox won again and are now, I believe, 31-5 in their last 36 games. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Robbie joins us from Lenox. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, what's going on, Tom? How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm okay. Listen, you know, what's frustrating about this team is the fact that they hit one, you know, you got a third baseman that hits 207,
yep.
a center fielder that hits 217.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry. You got a second baseman. It's 218.
Yep. Catcher.
There's no way in the catcher that's 165.
Yep.
They stink up the middle. Mm-hmm. And tonight, that was a terrible mistake by pinch hitting Goldschmidt and leaving Garcia and left to dry at the end of the game. But the bottom line is, Tommy, for the last, I mean, I've been a fan 55 years of this team, okay? Grew up 25 minutes from the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this team is they just don't put the stinking ball in play. Bases loaded.
Yep.
Nobody can get a damn single.
Yep.
Can anybody actually make contact on this team, Tom? They've been constructed the same way for 17 years under Cashman. Look, they win their 90 games. I get it. But what's the point every year of making the playoffs if you're not going to have a team that hits in the clutch and plays contact baseball? It's the same construction every stinking year by Cashman. Give me two guys, Tommy, at the top of the lineup that make contact and get the hell on base. Okay?
No doubt.
That hit 280, hit
yep.
270.
Yeah, no, Luis Arraez would have been perfect because he hits
absolutely.
Well over 300. He doesn't strike out.
Right. And
but
I'm
they're
really
married to Jazz Chisholm. Instead of moving him to center or just moving him out of here, they could have got a rise
right.
in here, but instead they stick to their guns and they love the home run ball. They just love guys that just hit the ball very far and not guys that make contact.
Right. I mean Grisham to me is a fourth outfielder on a good team. I mean, why is it that the Dodgers go out and get the players they need? The Yankees used to do that. I can't tell if this is a Cashman thing or a Steinbrenner thing. What is, look, they spent, we know they have a huge payroll, but they have a huge payroll every year. And it always comes down to the fact that Cashman, I told you, the last leadoff hitter they had was Johnny Damon, okay? He's the last guy at 17 friggin' years ago. Why can't this guy ever go out and get himself a legitimate guy who can get on base in front of Judge, in front of Rice? And Rice has been terrible lately. Rice is killing him.
Yeah.
He's like 2 for his last 29.
He's been awful, look, but he was so great before bad. That. You give him a little bit of a pass.
You can't. You can't give him. Yeah, you give him a terrific pass. I mean, yeah. Absolutely. He's still up there on slugging. But to me, how do you let go? Ali Sanchez is your best guy. Where's Rosario in the ninth inning?
Right.
How come Rosario? Because you don't have a catch left. Oh, Rice can't catch. I forgot.
Well, he can catch. Technically, he can catch. He can tactically. He knows how to catch. They just don't want to put him back there. That's really what it boils down to. They didn't want to put Rice at catcher in that spot. That's why they probably didn't want to pinch hit there. But I'm sorry. Sanchez has as much of a chance of getting a hit there as... Well, he's got a better chance than me. But, I mean, he doesn't have a good chance is really what I'm getting at. It's frustrating. Now, I would say DJ LeMahieu was a good leadoff hitter for the Yankees. But I hear you. And we had fun with this on Evan and Tiki last year as we tried to figure out who the Yankee leadoff hitter was going to be. That was last year, and here we are this year, and they still don't. If you would have traded for a Rise, he could have been a leadoff hitter. Maybe Lombard settles into that. But right now, it's just Trent Grisham. Ugh. And we all first guessed that one. When he accepted that qualifying offer, everybody said that that was just awful. And the Yankees were caught with their pants down with that whole situation. The fact that Ali Sanchez is on this team is further indictment on Brian Cashman's underwhelming and incomplete trade deadline. You needed to get a professional catcher. The fact that you didn't, and to make it even worse, the Red Sox got a catcher, the Rays got a catcher, and Brian Cashman was left holding the bag. So now you have two catchers that shouldn't be in the major leagues. You could live with one. If you had gotten a catcher and Wells is the backup defensive guy, fine. But the fact that Ali Sanchez, 2 days after the trade deadline, is up there in the ninth inning in a big spot. That is further indictment on Brian Cashman not doing his job at the deadline and not acquiring a catcher. Because you're stuck with Ali Sanchez, who's not a major leaguer. This is the Yankees. This is not a mid-market team, low-level team that doesn't have the funds or don't want to use their funds to build their team up. This is the Yankees. They should not, under any circumstances, have this situation a catcher. Yet, here we are. 2 days after the deadline, and Ali Sanchez is up in the ninth inning. If you had traded for a catcher, perhaps that catcher could have been up there, or if the manager would actually leave Luis Garcia Jr. in the game. So really, it's a tag team there from Cashman and Boone as far as the loss tonight. But it's embarrassing that Sanchez is up there in that spot. It's embarrassing that he's on the team. It is. Nothing against him. It's more for the organization. The fact that the Yankees didn't get a catcher at the deadline is an absolute epic failure. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Hunter joins us from Brooklyn. What's going on, Hunter?
Lugie, we're driving home heartbroken from the game. How dare they leave Mr. Ali at the plate in the bottom of the ninth.
Well, Hunter, good on you. Good on you sticking through that, because I know a lot of, it kind of thinned out at the end, obviously, with the rain delay, a couple of power outages, a very long game. The fact that you stayed till the ninth inning.
Now with the icing on the cake. Yeah. You were hoping for more of that before the end of the game.
Well, the Yankees lights went out because they couldn't.
With taking the hitter out, who do you put in that situation? Was it just gross incompetence doing nothing?
You could put Rosario
the
in the game. And then, like I said, you could either move Rice to catcher. But just the fact that you took Luis, I think it starts with taking Garcia out of the game. That's what you shouldn't have even done that, where he is up in the ninth inning instead of Sanchez.
For sure, for sure. Any word on Christian Betancourt coming up from the minors to heal this catcher chaos?
But here's the problem, Hunter, and I hope you had a great time at the game. If you're calling up WFAN in August and the Yankees are putting their hopes at catcher on Christian Betancourt, then you have no hope at that spot. Unless somebody just appears on the waiver wire. But what are we shopping on the clearance rack? The Yankees are shopping on the clearance. Where have I heard that before? Oh, the Mets used to do that with the Wilpons. Then they go into the catcher store with coupons to see what catcher they can get. Here's what the Yankees should have done at the trade deadline. Here's what Brian Cashman should have done at the trade deadline. If the Yankees want to get on the level of the Dodgers, if they want to go back to being what the Yankees used to be, this is what Brian Cashman should have done at the trade deadline. They should have traded for Luis Arraez, a guy that hits for a high average and doesn't strike out, and you can put him at the top of the lineup. He helps you in every facet that you are weak in. Gives you a leadoff hitter, gives you a high average guy, contact, doesn't strike out. Then you could have moved Jazz to center field, and you could have got rid of Trent Grisham because he's dead weight. And then you could have moved Ben Rice to catcher if you didn't want to trade for catcher. But no, instead, you have a million first baseman, a million DH. You're about to get Stanton back, I would think, at some point. He's a DH. Is Aaron Judge going to be able to play right field with this injury when he gets back? Okay, another DH. You should have traded for Arraez, put him at second, put Jazz in center, and Rice a catcher. That should have been the move. That would have been shaking things up. That would have been going the extra mile. Doing something different. Because don't look now, the Red Sox won again, and they are tied with you in the loss column. Don't look now, the Rays won again. They are several games in front of you in the division. And the Yankees are sending up Ollie Sanchez in the ninth inning. 888-808-1019. Is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to Jonathan. He's calling us from all the way up in Massachusetts. What's going on, Jonathan?
Hey, Tommy. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Likewise.
Well, I wanted to say, you know, it's remarkable to give the local perspective on the Red Sox astonishing shift, which, as I was telling to the guy I called in to, is very similar to the Knicks shift. In fact, I don't think the Knicks were ever considered dead.
No.
But it's funny. I remember I went to my first game in Citi Field ever a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, and it was against the Red Sox. I went down to Port Jeff, and I brought my friend up, and there was fireworks after the game.
Yeah, I think we might have spoke right before that, but Boston swept them in that series. So, But I mean, everybody was getting on the Mets, but it's like, look at what Boston's doing. They're steamrolling everybody. They swept the Dodgers for the Dodgers have lost six in a row, but still, I mean, Boston's beating everybody.
Well, it's funny. It's like, you know, there's a certain muscle memory to it, because as fickle as Red Sox fans can be, and every bit as negative as Mets fans can be, their ability, they have a lot of memory trained in that things can change. And it's amazing how much that they all believe in it. And it's really...
Well, you never want to quit on a year, especially in late May. I mean, that's, to me, too early to sort of throw in the towel. And look, they fired their manager, and I still think Alex Cora is an amazing manager. And I don't think this is an indictment on him as a manager, the fact that Boston has taken off without him. But the Red Sox got hot there. They won, what, like 15 in a row? They went from sellers to essentially buyers, and look at them now. I mean, they are have as good a chance as anybody there to win that division, and they have as good a chance as anybody in the American League to go to the World Series. I think this is sustainable because of their pitching staff.
Yes, but even the pitching staff, I mean, every my experience is always when the vibes are good, and of course it's self-fulfilling because the vibes are good because they win, but it is also true in the other direction. Everybody is the best version of themselves. And when I was watching...
Winning is contagious. Yeah, you start to ride that wave, just like losing can poison you. No doubt about it. And they got hot, and they've stayed. And they've just sustained
that. In fact, because both teams... That's what I noticed. That was one of the cool things about that Red Sox-Mets game, is at the time, both teams were terrible. And all the fans, you know, there was a lot of Red Sox fans, but they were just...
Well, I wouldn't say that. No, I think Boston had already started their ascent. I think you look back to that Yankee series is where it started to kind of turn for them.
Their perception wasn't even that it was a winning streak yet.
Well, that was going into the break, and I thought that the key thing with this Red Sox run is that they were playing really well going into the All-Star break, and perhaps that could have cooled them off. they came out right away and essentially, I think, swept the Rays. They beat them in a doubleheader both games. And the fact that they carried that over after a layoff told me that, okay, this isn't just a team that got hot. This is a team that turned the corner. And now, I mean, this is remarkable what they're doing. I mean, this record that they have in their last 36 is just insane.
Yeah. You know, and of course, you know, with my magical thinking, I can't help but take a little credit for it because, you know, I've been on this quest to try to help the Mets win, but I can't become a Mets fan. You can't just become a, you know that. I've been kidding myself. I'm a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, the way you're born, you're born into what you're born into, Jonathan. You don't want to switch teams.
Yeah, and I think I've been kidding myself. I do think the Mets are going to win. I think it's actually good that they have the reset. I would encourage the Mets fans, whomever you get, give them a real lot of slack. Give them slack at the start.
What are you saying, manager-wise? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, that, but the player-wise. Don't boo Bichette. You know,
look, I don't agree with booing a guy right out of the gate, and I'm not the, you know, even, you know, how would I say this? I can't even think right now. How would I say this? Before positive Tommy. So pre-positive Tommy. I wasn't much of a booer. But yeah, booing Bo Bichette within a couple games is absurd. And I don't condone that or agree with it. But you pay it for a ticket, you could pretty much, within the confines of the rules of the ballpark, do whatever you want. BPT, before positive Tommy. That's what I was looking for. I know I got a little bots, a little stunad here. It's 1:30 in the morning. What do you want from me? I mean, you're going to hear me tomorrow night on the Big Lugowski at 7 p.m. I'm much sharper then. You know, I'm much sharper then because it's not the middle of the night. Anyway, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Let's go to John in the Poconos, although he is coming back from the game. Are you driving to the Poconos, Johnny, or where are you headed here?
Yes, I'm headed to the Poconos.
You got That's a long drive. You got a long drive ahead of you, or you're currently on that long drive?
I'm currently on the drive. I'm almost home, as it as a matter of fact.
Yeah, what does that take you from the Bronx to the Poconos? What are we looking at here?
About 2 hours, typically.
Ooh.
Unless the George Washington Bridge is bad, then it's more.
Yeah, well, I mean, usually, I mean, they've been doing work on the Bell Parkway for the last 60 years. So is this something that you do often, that you drive the 2 hours for a Yankee game, or is this just kind of something you do once or twice a year?
I have season tickets. I go to every game.
Look at you. You drive 2 hours both directions with season tickets to the Yankee game?
Yes, I do.
That's impressive. I know people that don't want to drive 10 minutes to go do anything, and you're driving essentially 4 hours, and you're telling me you go to day games, too? The traffic's got to be insane coming out of the day games.
Yeah, it was really bad going home tonight because it was pouring rain.
Yeah, it was bad out there.
It's really bad. Couldn't even see the lines on the road. Hey, I wanted to comment on the Garcia being taken out of the game. Boone actually ended up doubling down on that decision because in the ninth inning, he took McMahon out and brought in Caballero to play third.
Right, right.
Normally, it's the other way around. He brings McMahon in for defense. I don't know why he took him out, but that meant that Caballero couldn't pinch it for Sanchez.
Right. Yeah. Right, right. It was a bad night for Boone. It really was. I mean, the decisions that he made late in that game, and look, the offense is so just dead right now, but that's where anybody that has a pulse, and Luis Garcia Jr. has more than a pulse, anybody that has a pulse or is at the level what Garcia is at, who's having a career year, you have to keep his bat in the lineup. They got to score runs. You can't be worried about taking guys out and defense and all that. It just, it makes, especially when you're trailing.
Yeah, it made no sense. Sanchez would have either let off the ninth inning or come in, I guess it was fifth in the ninth inning to make the last out. So he had a pinch hit for him either way. And unfortunately, Caballero wasn't available.
He substituted
him for McMahon. Made no sense. Neither move made any sense.
Nope. And I listened to the post game, and everybody's doing their job, but I listened to the post game, and maybe I didn't hear it, but or we didn't hear all of the post game on our post game. Nobody asked him about it. Look, I get it. George Lombard Jr. is having this great, and all the positive, look, believe me, I call myself positive Tommy, so I get harping on the positive stuff, but hey, Aaron, did you ever think to pinch hit for Sanchez in the ninth, or why the heck did you take Luis Garcia Jr. out of the game? Did anybody bother to ask that? Or, hey, Aaron, the Red Sox have won 67,000 games in a row. Is there any concern? I get it. George Lombard Jr. Yes, yes, yes. Looks the part. Great defensively, all of that. But don't let that sort of distract you from what's happening right now. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And, man, John of the Poconos, that is, I don't want to just, that's why I was peppering with questions. I don't want to just, like, brush over that. This is a man, John in the Poconos, who has season tickets for the Yankees, goes to, it sounds like he said, every single game. And on a night like tonight, if the weather wasn't bad, he would probably, you know, and I say cruise home, but he would get home a lot quicker. But think about it, Sunday traffic and daytime traffic and even weekend night traffic. He drives 2+ hours both directions to go to these games. I don't even want to get on the 7 line to go to you know, I wanted to start this business where I would be the first ever sports gigolo or escort. I don't know the PC term, but whatever the put me down for the PC term, whether it's gigolo, escort, whatever people say these days. Don't want to offend anybody, but I was going to be the first ever sports, like I said, gigolo slash escort, and you, the customer, would pay for us to go to the game. We'd hang out. It could be Knicks. It could be Mets. It could be, I'd even go to, you know, the teams I don't root for. That's fine. I got to draw the line somewhere, though, so I would say the line would be a net game. I probably wouldn't want to go there, but I wouldn't be the only person at Barclays Center that doesn't root for the Nets that'd be watching the game. But that's, did they deserve a stray there, the Nets? I don't know if they did, but why not? I guess I'll give them one. But yeah, so I would go to the game, we would watch it, and you would pay for it. But I realized, number one, I couldn't make any money off that, and number two, I hate commuting to sporting events. I do. Because I remember 6 years ago, I guess I could plead the fifth on this one, but I remember 6 years ago where we were packed in subway cars like sardines. And now I get on we couldn't be packed on a subway car. We had to be within 40 feet of each other, and now we're on the 7 line packed like sardines or whatever train after these games where it's brutal. So I don't like that. I don't enjoy that, and there's never any traffic from my couch to my bed after the game. But I just marvel at somebody that drives, you know, 2 hours both directions to go to not just one Yankee game, every single home game, it sounds like, or everyone that you can make. Boy, that's commitment. So hats off to you, John in the Poconos.
Your New York Yankees are chasing another championship. Talk Yankees baseball with the fans at 888-808-1019. The WFAN phone line is powered by Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus presents the biggest summer in UFC history.
Now shake it.
.35 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. Hopefully everybody had a very pleasant Lugie evening. It is After Hours, the final segment before Gordon Damer takes over at 2 a.m. The phone number to join is 888-808-1019. We will get to, coming up in just 1 second here, the meeting between Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor that took place this season. And of all people, Freddie Peralta was the guy that put it all together. You know, Freddie Peralta, we talked about this at the time of the deadline. Disappointing. We all love the move. You do that move, I think. Look, I understand they gave up two top 100 prospects, but you got to give to get. And I remember being on the air when the move happened, and I love the move. You figure you're getting a guy that just went to the All-Star game, led the National League in wins, and he was more on the rise than he would be either bottoming out or just even leveling off. I figured he would build on last year, Freddie Peralta, and I've always liked Freddie Peralta. But it didn't go well in his half a season with the Mets. But everything you heard about Freddie was that he was a great guy, great locker room guy, and a great dude just overall. And that's one of the reasons I think that the Mets brought him in, too, because not only is he, I still think, a good pitcher, but also a good person. And he was able to sit these two guys down. So I'll give you my thoughts on that coming up in just a few minutes. But first, let's say hello to our friend Sean in Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
Hello, Logie. I'm doing all right. Hopefully you had a blessed night, as always, and blessed day. So, I mean, mine was not too bad, of course. So,
well, never is. I mean, Sean, the one good thing about you, my friend, is you never really have a bad day. I think you probably say so-so, but you're not a Paul Rosenberg where you're kicking the can down the street. You know what I mean? You always have a positive outlook on life. So I appreciate that about you.
That's always. Before I get to my point, I want to tell you something interesting that I experienced the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I did have this interesting dream that you were in your doing your show in the studio like that.
Okay.
And you were told that you were getting a co-host for your show.
I was getting a co-host on After Hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was turned out to be me.
How about that? So you had a. It's funny too, Sean. Now I didn't have a dream about you, but I had a dream about the show, which since I've started full-time back in January, I have not had one dream about the show. When I used to run the board, I would always have, and I think I've heard like Licata talk about this and other people, it's this dream that a lot of us have here, and it's us behind the scenes running the board, and it's usually on a big show. Like it would be for either like Mike back in the day or Boomer and Carton or one of like the major shows, and you would be screwing up left and right on the board, and you would just be messing up the show. And that's like a reoccurring dream that you would have over and over and over again. But since I hadn't had that one in a while, but just when I started in the business, since I've started this show, though, I haven't had any dreams about the show itself. But the other night I did. I don't remember like any of the details on it, but yeah, it's good to see that you listen. I don't know if I get a rating point for you dreaming about the show, but I should look into that with upper management and be like, listen, if the audience dreams about me, does that count as a rating point? Where does that rank in the Nielsen rating? Like, Tommy Lugauer is just killing it in the dream sequences of the audience. And perhaps I could get a couple more boxes of ZD on my next contract.
Yeah, I would like to see that. That'd be cool.
If you could put that in writing somewhere, Sean, that you had a dream about me on the show or being on the show, I'd appreciate that. Or just email me and just CC upper management, will you?
I can try if I know it. Or I could just tweet you about it.
Perfect.
I could just do that, too.
Yeah, that's probably the easier way. Yeah, you know what? Email's kind of old hat. You're right. Just tweet at me.
Yeah, I got you. Now, let's get to the task at hand, because I know this is not... I know it wasn't the night that we wanted, of course, with the rain being a factor, which, obviously, like I said...
And that rain came out of nowhere. You know, that really... I wasn't expecting... I turned on Prime, and it was funny. They didn't even, like, cover it with, like, a rain delay or anything, theater, so to speak. But I wasn't anticipating a delay, so when I tuned the game at 7:05, I see rain delay. So I know it's rained a bunch this summer, but I wasn't even expecting a delay, and then you had north of 60 minutes, and then the lights went out.
That's strange, because this is actually true for those that don't know that humidity actually develops storms.
Yes, it does. But like Sean, I love you. I think the majority of the audience does know that. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I feel like that's sort of rudimentary. I think most people, Sean, and like I said, you're a loyal listener, loyal caller, but I think the majority of our audience knows, and the planet, knows that when it is hot and humid, you often get thunderstorms and rain because of it.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of crazy ones that I know what that.
Well, as you know, you're a townie, as we know, in Old Bridge. You're sort of born and bred. You've been there your entire life, so you are a townie. So I would imagine that you have seen a lot of. Have you seen any tornadoes? Because I feel like we've had a lot of tornado warnings this summer.
So, that's a really good question.
The questions will get harder as we go. Don't worry. So if you're struggling with this one, it could be tough.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, like, in person, no, but I remember once when I was in Rhode Island, I remember once they had a hurricane, I think it was Hurricane Earl, I remember that, and we had to take shelter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like this local, like, I think it was a, I don't know if it was a coffee place or an, like, some kind of, like, sweet like candy place. I don't remember, but it was a local mom and pop shop.
But yeah, Rhode Island, neither a road nor an island. So you could just discuss that amongst yourselves. But that's an interesting story. One of your best, Sean. I feel like the other night we had a conversation and we never really got to your sports point. We've now reached a new kind of, and maybe this is perhaps you sort of auditioning for the co-host. We've now gotten to the point now where we talk about everything other than sports, which I don't mind, as you know. Anytime Ozzie and Woodridge calls, it's basically, you know, anything but sports. But I don't mind developing those relationships with my audience. You don't always just have to sit here and talk sports with me.
Yeah, it's always like help branch out, like bring in that bromance and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know, bromance is probably going a little too far, but I would just say my relationship with the audience, you know, because then when you start throwing words out there like friend and bromance and inner circle, if I do it for you, Sean, then I have to do it for everybody. And then it becomes just where I have to draw the line somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to sort of rank the callers as far as having a bromance with any of them or them being in my inner circle.
Acquaintance is a good one.
Yeah, we could probably find somewhere in between acquaintance and bromance. There's got to be a plenty of real estate there where we can land on a good phrase for that. But I'll think it over tonight, Sean. And if you dream again about the show, perhaps somebody in your dream will tip you off to the word you can use.
Yes, I would love to hear that. That would be so cool. And yes, I'll be reaching out during the Big Lou Gowski. Don't forget.
Yeah, that is, and I appreciate the call as always, Sean. That is tomorrow night. Oh, really? See, I get confused here sometimes. Sorry, again, a little stunna, a little bots. For me, because I'm going to go to sleep, Thursday is tomorrow. But technically, Thursday is today. So really, I'm on later today, or later tonight, as it were, for a Big Lou Gowski. A 5-hour after hours from 7 to midnight. So definitely looking forward to that. Yankees off. We'll be talking a lot of baseball, but it's going to be, I could see it being a football show. I just got that feeling that it could be a football show. Because I really want to go into this deeper about the, and I've heard it from, we'll call it, you know, Jet fan personalities in the business and Jet content creators. And I was even talking to someone over the weekend who's a Jet fan. And I could just see it on their face. I kind of beat them to the punch and they started laughing. The Jet optimism. And listen, the Jets have won 14 Super Bowls in July throughout the course of their history. But the idea that Jet fans are going through that turnstile in July, thinking that the team, and obviously now we're in August, but when I was hearing about this, it was July, thinking that, you know, maybe we got something. And it's, well, here's the problem, though. You don't have a head coach and you don't have a quarterback in a head coach quarterback league. In fact, I think it's more likely that Aaron Glenn is fired by week 6 than it is the Jets win 6 games this year. But we'll dive more into the Jets and the Giants. A lot of football coming up on the Big Lou Gowski later on this evening. Now, as far as the Mets, as far as what's going on with Soto and Lindor and this story that came out on ESPN. Freddy Peralta, who's no longer here, but everything you heard about Freddie, great guy, great clubhouse guy, and that's why you really wanted to work out here, because he could have been a leader on this team, Freddie Peralta. And he showed a lot of leadership by brokering this sort of sit-down. It's almost like Freddie Peralta's Tony Soprano and Soto and Lindor are Ralphie and Paulie Walnuts. Like, it's a sit-down. That heist felony a lap. 10 G's for an alarm code? I'm sure they weren't talking about that, but they were trying to hash out their differences. And according to this article, things seem to be better between the two. Now, what's interesting is Lindor talked about the meeting and Soto denied it. I don't know what to make of that, but I think there's enough here to know that it did go down. And I've been saying this for a while now, ever since this sort of became a thing. And look, the Mets losing doesn't help. When a team loses, these type of stories not only come out, but they're amplified because it's less about the games and it's more about the ancillary stuff, things that are going on sort of inside the four walls. But I've said this now for, well, really since the offseason, when that article, I think it was Puma had it, and it was Mike Puma, and it was about, paraphrasing it, but it was about, hey, Soto, Lindor, they perhaps don't get along, and they have different interests, and Lindor's into fashion, and Soto's into baseball. It's like, okay, yeah, on a Saturday night, if Francisco Lindor wants to hang out with Dolce and Cabana, and Juan Soto wants to go to a batting cage. I don't think that really ultimately is, if there is the heat and the sort of whatever exists between the two of them that is a negative thing, I don't think that's probably the full extent of it. Because I can't imagine, like, okay, you're into fashion, I'm into baseball. Why does that means we don't like each other? I don't know. There's probably more to it, but I've been saying this since that came out. They don't have to be best friends. They don't have to hang out. Show me a locker room full of alpha males, and I'm sure there are plenty of people in that locker room that don't get along or don't hang out. You don't have to love each other. You don't have to be best friends, but you just need to respect each other. It's not basketball. It's not where five guys are on the court at one time, and they have to be one heartbeat. The chemistry in basketball is so important. It's overrated in baseball. It's a team sport, but really it's played... Well, really, no. It's an individual sport played in a team sort of format. And Juan Soto's out there in the outfield. Lindor's at short. Juan Soto's basically staring at Francisco Lindor's ass for 3 straight hours. They're not going to the plate together. They're not hanging out during the game. There's no way where chemistry really matters as far as the Mets playing a better baseball game because they have that chemistry. Where it does, if Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson don't get along, then you're going to have problems. And there's no chemistry between those two players. I mean, you saw it with the Knicks, how great their chemistry was, and it ultimately was a big part of why they won a championship. It doesn't need to be there with Lindor and Soto. What you don't want is a locker room that is bad because you have all these young players, McLean and Thornton and Scott and Ewing and Benj, and plenty of more are on their way in the next couple of years. And I'd like to think that Lindor will be here and is not going anywhere. So it's best to just get along to a point where you just respect each other. And, you know, your lockers could be far apart. But by all accounts, the Freddie Peralta sit down helped things. And now and Steve Cohen kind of sort of alluded to this in the interview he did with Joel Sherman and with John Heyman, where he said, hey, things are better now, or better than they were. And sometimes you need that. And I said that about the manager. I said, if you bring in an Alex Cora, if you bring in a guy that can sort of broker the peace, that I think will go a long way. Now, Peralta obviously did it, but I still think you bring in a manager that can mend the fences or get these guys on the same page to where they respect each other and they don't have to love each other, but, you know, there could be mutual sort of, hey, we're teammates, we're both stars on this team, and whatever exists that we don't like each other for whatever reason it is, you could get past that. Because, yes, sports is driven by egos and massive contracts and all that stuff, but plenty of teams through the years have had that scenario and have not only survived, but they've thrived. It always boils down to winning. And the more you win, the less this is a thing. Both in the paper, so to speak, and just in general. Because if you're winning, it's always better. When you're not winning, if you don't have a great relationship, it's going to make things probably worse because the vibes aren't where they would be if you were winning. Now, speaking of vibes, Jeffrey Yahn made his debut with the Mets, and his celebration after strikeouts, which a lot of us have already seen, but now it's on the big stage here in the big leagues. It's obviously gone viral all over the internet. I'm all in on a Jeremy Lin Linsanity meteoric rise for Jeffrey Yahn, where he's somebody that we as fans can rally behind and do the celebration, and it could become this thing for Met fans. Not only this year, but for years to come. Heck, I would sign him to a lifetime contract. And it felt that way with Jeremy Lin, that maybe that was, you know, sustainable, and he would go on to be a great Nick. Now, obviously, it didn't. Same thing with my guy Tommy DeVito. Wish it did. It didn't. But perhaps Jeffrey Yahn, in the same sort of breath as those two guys, can have that kind of meteoric rise where he becomes a fan favorite. He comes out of nowhere to just impress everybody. And he's impressive. Throws very hard, and he's got some spunk. And I'm sure the opponents aren't going to appreciate it, but you know what? Tough. As they say, do something about it. But he's an easy guy to root for. He was out of baseball for a bunch of years. Getting this chance now with the Mets, getting this chance now in the show. And how could you not love a guy like that? Jumping around, celebrating, positive vibes. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for that type of Jeremy Lin, Tommy DeVito, meteoric rise where he just takes over the city, and hopefully it's sustainable, because I think that would be a lot of fun to have him on this team for years to come. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a Tommy Lugauer, Lugie here in the late night. Let's finish up here with Tony in Montreal. What's going on, Tony?
How you doing, man?
Hey.
Lugie, you know, when I listened to Keith McPherson back about 2-3 years ago, we're talking about Lindor, and we're talking about, you know, Soto when he came over from the Yanks, and they thought this would be like the magic potion that would transform the Mets. And like when I'm listening to you tonight, like I'm just coming back from work, and I'm like, how can these two guys not get along with all the money, all the adulation, all the fandom, all the WFAN New York? You guys are all over those guys. And I said to myself, could it be like, let's take it back to my work. You know, one guy worked with you. He's envious, or even at your level, maybe some guy might be envious of you. Maybe you have a better audience than another guy, fan.
Well, listen, there's egos in all walks of life. There are big personalities in all walks of life, whether it's entertainment, whether it's this business, whether it's sports. And sometimes, Tony, and I appreciate the call, those egos will clash. And I've always felt like whether it's this radio station, so a program director, upper management, or in sports, a manager, or leaders on the team, it's on them to keep the peace. They don't have to be best friends, but they have to respect each other. And they have to be good teammates for the ultimate goal and the ultimate prize. In a sport where I do think chemistry is overrated, it's not imperative. But what you don't want is something like that poisoning a locker room, especially when you have a lot of young, impressionable players. It's the last thing you want. And winning cures all, but you have to start with kind of mending the relationship. And I don't really, look, I've heard people speculate on what could be going on there. None of us truly know, and we may never know. I would say that perhaps if Lindor is no longer on the team next year, maybe it'll get out, because then you could air the dirty laundry. But otherwise, I think we will always kind of be in the dark on it. But the bottom line is, this is a good step. I'm glad that Freddie Peralta did that. Shows you a lot about his character, which everything you heard about him, he was a guy of high character. And now it is up to, because Freddie's no longer here, the manager that steps into this. And it'll be very interesting to see who the Mets hire in the offseason. But that manager, that's where he has to manage sort of those two personalities, because their relationship is not, like, they're not best friends. So you're going to have to figure out a way to sort of navigate the waters with those parameters, because they are your two star players. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Nico Scarlatos. My thanks to Alex Azarm. My thanks to the callers. My thanks to the listeners. Gordon Damer, he comes your way next, and then I will join you later on this evening at 7 o'clock, right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.